to your house this morning. Thank you for granting us journey mercies, each one to be here. Lord, we pray you will be with us as we fellowship around your word. May you inspire your word unto us, quicken every word of it. Help us, Lord, to have the spiritual understanding of what your word is passing across. May none of us miss your blessing. Thank you, Father. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. St. Mark, chapter 16. From verse 9. St. Mark chapter 16, from verse 9 to the end. Now when Jesus was risen early, the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, out of whom he had cast seven devils. And she went and told them that had been with him as he mourned and wept. And they, when they had heard that he was alive and had been seen of her, believed not. After that, he appeared in another form unto two of them as they walked and went into the country. And they went and told it unto the residue, neither believed they them. Afterward, he appeared unto the 11 as they sat at meat and upbraided them of their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they believed not them which had seen him after he was risen. And he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils, they shall speak with new tongues, they shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. So then, after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven and sat on the right hand of God, and they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord walking with them and confirming the word with signs following. Amen. The Lord had his blessings to the reading and hearing of this portion of his word. God bless you. Can please be seated. From the scriptures that we read, both in this Sunday school and in the morning mass service, we will be passing this area today. God helping us to hear from the prophet what the Lord will have us to know at this time. You will see the scripture that we read. The Bible said that, verse 11, it said, and they, when they had heard that he was alive and had been seen of her, believed not. Then went further and said, after he had appeared in another form unto two of them, as he walked and went into the country, and they went and told it unto the residue, neither believed they them. These are post-resurrection experiences among the disciples. They heard that he has raised from the dead, and they were told that we saw him. They say, we know they believe. He appeared to these other two on their way to Emmaus and show infallible proof that he's alive, that he's risen from the dead. The Bible says, they too, those people that were told, they also did not believe. So when they finally met the 11, where they were sitting down together, the Bible said, he upbraided them with their unbelief and hardness of heart. The Bible said that faith coming by hearing, hearing the word of God. After somebody has heard, and you have shown evidences and the person remains an unbeliever, how can the fellow be helped? So, today God helping us, this Sunday school and the morning service, we'll be speaking on the message, the God trial. The prophet told us in the preambles that in every congregation you always have these three groups, classes of people, the believers, the made believers, and the unbelievers. And when you preach the message, three kinds of believers, taking his text from St. John chapter 6, prophet said the three groups were there. The group of the believers were there, who believed despite the fact that they don't understand, they still believed. When he said, except to eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you, they believe. But the unbelievers, they said, this is the accident. Who can hear this? What type of a thing is this one? We'll be eating your flesh and be drinking your blood, and that's the only way we will have life. That type of life we are not interested. Off they go. The prophet said, the unbelievers, they don't stand still. Quickly, they make manifest what is inside of them, and they find their level. Then we have the make believers. Abraham said, they are the hardest ones. He said, they are rash. They will not talk that they don't believe. But inside their hearts, they don't believe. And they are going to stay until the last bus stop. And he said the person that represented this group in this St. John chapter 6 is Judas Iscariot. He was there at the last bus stop. Almost all the miracles was before him. He witnessed them. Signs and wonders, he witnessed them. Almost all the services, he attended. But any time he's going to talk, people that are spiritual, they take note of what comes out of his mouth. Because the Bible said, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. In one of the sermons, Abraham was talking about the when these people were giving testimonies on the sea. He said, when Judas was going to talk at all, he said, this man, we have to take caution about how we just plunge in. Don't you think that this person may be playing some things? His own expression is the one that is different from what every other person has said. When the woman that came to the house of Simon the Pharisee was doing service unto Jesus, and Jesus was watching her and did not move, of course, the Pharisees were saying that this guy that says he's a prophet, can you see now? Here is an harlot at his feet, shedding crocodile tears. And he said, stand still there. Put his leg. He put his leg there. And let the woman be pouring tears on his leg. In the name of what? Because they don't understand spiritual things. And finally, when he said that your sins that are many, they are forgiven you. See, can you imagine? Himself has now taken the position of God now, forgiving sins. When she brought the oil and poured it, Judas said, this is waste now. This is waste. They should have sold this oil and put the money inside the treasury. And the Bible went further. It's not that he cared for the poor. Because he carried the bag, He wanted the money to be full so that maybe they will know when they take out of it. Whether the money is plenty or small, if you take out of it, God knows. God knows. It's not the quantity of the money that will let God know whether something has reduced from it or it does not. No. A penny, God knows. Not only did he know, he has a record. Judas said, this is a waste of something. Jesus said, Levi alone. Jesus didn't say much to Judas. Why? Because his hour has not yet come. Because everybody is ordained to fulfill a part. Everybody comes to serve a purpose. Everybody is ordained for something. And until that thing is achieved, God will not talk. You only need the person to continue on until the time. Jesus will have said, because he knows, the reason you make that statement is this. The disciples, as at that time, I don't think they actually know much about Judas. But when he, the Holy Spirit, came, and they were now inspired to begin to write the gospel, John said he was a thief. He had a bag. Having the bag does not make somebody a thief, if it's not a thief. But a thief, whether he has bag or not, you know, like in the convention, some people lose money. We said only one that was. All the other ones, we don't know whether they were fined. It's possible that part of the attendees picked some money and pocket it. A sister said that she was looking for a non-Android phone and she never found it. Animals does not make calls. So definitely it's a human being that took the fall. The students are on holidays. Likely we only have the attendees and the staff of LCU. Somebody somewhere will have taken that one and pocketed it. So whatever happens, there is a part each one has got to fulfill. And everybody will fulfill theirs. May the Lord be our help. May we fulfill the right one. The believers, the prophet said, they ought to eat as a matter between life and death. Whatever goes, whatever happens, they ought to eat. They understand, they don't understand, they ought to eat. No matter the situation and the circumstances and what is going on, they ought to eat. That is why Peter said, we know and we are sure that thou only has the word of eternal life. If you are the only one that has the word of eternal life, then to whom then shall we go? After one is convinced of the source of eternal life, where else do you think someone who is ordained of God to be a believer will go again? After God has shown you that this path leads to eternal life, which part again do you think that you will go and still find eternal life? May the Lord be our help. So, with this little background, we approach this message. We will just begin to start on the background. We have a few minutes now to the end of this. And then we will come and face it as we now the prophet said, now I trust that the appearing of his vindicated resurrection this week, what little that we have seen, you go at this time, in this stage, being your first time, be a little skeptical of it, because the only thing you see is just the minor part. But it's never one time been wrong. In the tens of thousands of times, it has never been wrong. How many here is a witness of that? Raise up your hands. See, never no matter what nation, where, place, it has never said anything will happen, but what happened. Exactly that way. So nothing can be that accurate but God alone. Amen. Now, this is the only person in this our generation that will make a statement like this. All the other GOs and the rest of them, I call them to a chalet to make this statement in the open. That we say that all that I have told the people in the name of the Lord come to pass. Nobody has that testimony. But of course, it's got to look shady. It has to be that way. So did it in his day and so forth. Even his birth and everything else looks shady. God does that just to test the faith of his people. There are things that God does to test your faith, to test my faith. He does, he's still doing, and we still do. And we continue to do until we leave this place. Each person's faith, what you claim you believe, has to be tested. If children does not go to exam, how do you know the one that is brilliant and the one that is not brilliant? How do you know the one that is supposed to go to the next class and the one that should repeat? It has to be an exam. There must be a test to prove what they have here from what they have been taught. There has to be a test. And when the test is done, if you are not satisfied with the result, you can come out and say that you can write to the highest authority, I want my script remarked. If you are so sure of yourself or what you have done, you can petition. If they don't want to answer you, you can engage a lawyer. When they see the letter from a lawyer, the VC of any school, he will call the people involved. Oh yeah, bring these fellows up because they know that they are heading towards a terrible thing. A lawyer will blacklist that university, scatter them on the paper, finish them, rubbish them on the ground. Maybe some stubborn, some of these stubborn, wicked lecturers that will say, you will never pass my test. You be sure of what you have written. If you are so sure of what you are written, come up. Write to the authority. If they don't, engage a lawyer. They believe or they don't. Praise be to God. And the prophet said that this Bible, there is no contradiction in it at all. No contradiction in the Bible. From Genesis to Revelation, everything works as God has arranged them. That is a stumbling block to some people in not wanting to have anything to do with the Bible. And they criticized it because they said, like when I was working in the government, the chairman said that, he said the mistake the Christians do is that when they see letters to Corinthians, letters to Ephesians, which one is written to Nigerians? In other words, Nigerians are not included in salvation.
That's what it means. But somehow, of course, a lot of encounter we had, the man actually, he was a Muslim. But finally, when God pushed him to the wall, he looked for Bible. He looked for Bible. The same Bible, he come to see the letter, not only written to Nigeria, but written to him as a personal. He saw that inside of this, some are written to him, and his name is inside this place. May the Lord be our head. If it is a bastard from God, someone that God has nothing to do with, he will not do him anything. He's not going to prove anything to the person, until the person will end it like that to the lake of fire. But when the fellow is a seed of God, you can carry on your foolishness for a little while. But if the person is actually a seed of God, God is going to create a situation, a circumstances, that will make you to actually let the seed that is inside of you come to life. That you will see what God is talking about. Amen. That is God Almighty. In this trial that we want to go into, what is calling this to become a trial is that somebody has a case against God. And that person is Satan. And is accusing God of a breach of promise. So the case that we are facing today is the word of God's promise versus the world. Aye. The world. The entire world. The world of unbelievers. Versus the promises of God's word. Is what we are looking at in this court trial. Satan, who is the chief prosecutor, has brought a case to the court to tell the people of the world that the promises that God made in this Bible, that they are not altogether true. You know, some few years back, one of the Catholic cardinals was saying that the fact that Jesus Christ turned water to wine, that is a signal to it, that it means that he drinks. And being that he drinks, some of the promises that he put inside that Bible, he might have put it there when he was drunk. Like the promise of his coming. You know, people like him have their forefathers in the scriptures. Brother Peter was saying that skeptics, they said, since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they are. People are born, they grow, they die. Another one is born, they grow, they die. And he said that we are the promise of his coming. The Bible says that this they willingly are ignorant of. They are willingly ignorant. By the word of God, the heavens were of old, and they are standing out of the water and in the water. The next verse. Whereby the word that then was being overflowed with water perished. History proved that. Did he not? That's why Brother Peter was saying that they are willingly ignorant. This is not how the world started. When the world was created, we have a flat world. That you can stand here and see the end of the world, the same flat level. When you take the level, you put the plumb down. The plumb anywhere in the world, they read the same thing. But when this heart went into sin of unbelief and all that happened until he repented God that he created human being on the earth, and God decided that he was going to wipe up this world with water, and he did. The prophet said that this earth had a nervous prostration. And when it had a nervous prostration, then the earth tilted. From that time, We don't have the same level. From that time, the sun does not shine on us. As the sun starts shining here now, some places is black. Because the earth now is tilted. So one side will be seeing the sun, another side is in darkness. Later, it will change again. We'll see the, we'll be in darkness, others will be seeing the sun. The people are ignorant of this. Amen. This prosecuting attorney is Satan. And the defendant in the case of today is God himself. And the prosecuting attorney has got witnesses to prove his case, as it is in court. And the defense witness also has also his own witnesses to be able to disprove the claim of the prosecuting attorney and his witnesses. And in any court, the first person to be called is always the prosecutor, because he's the one that brought the case to court. And until he presents his case, that is what the defense will ask. Oya, come and defend yourself. Have you heard what he said? Yes. Oya, come and defend yourself. Why you should not be disciplined? Why you should not be sent to jail? Why you should not be fined? Or why you should not be killed? So in this case, Satan, who is the prosecuting attorney, is asked to stand up and present his case. So in presenting his case, he came up and said that what I am saying is that the promises that God made in this Bible, that they are not altogether true. There are a lot of them that he refuses to back up. And what is the good of a, what is the use of a God of history? That when there is problem, you call him, he refuses to answer. What is the use of a God that will say, I will do this one, and the time comes for him to do it, he does not do it. He has to come and answer for himself. This thing that is called the Bible is like any other book. They should throw it away. Because the person that is the writer of this Bible, that put them together and made so many promises, he also declared that those promises, that they are righteous promises and should be discarded. And the case is very strong. And he brought three witnesses, which according to the scripture, two or three is a witness. When two or three present a case witnesses, the matter is established. And he has come up with these three witnesses. And he wants to present them to the honorable court, which this is the court this morning. All of you, you are sitting on the seat of a jury. Let me explain what a jury is. A jury is a group of judges that goes inside. They are not the main judge, but they are a set of judges who go and look at the case from the whatever, and then they gather facts together to be able to advise the judge on how the judgment will be. And your act today that you are using to listen to this is the jury. Your action thereafter is the judgment that is passed. The three witnesses that are brought to court today by the prosecuting attorney, one of them is called Mr. Unbeliever. Watch their name. Because today is the day that we actually value names. It's the day that we look at names and their meaning. Then you cannot live above the name that you are bearing. The Bible confirmed that one from New Old Testament to New Testament. Amen. He brought Mr. Unbeliever. He brought Mr. Skeptic. And he brought Mr. Impatient. These are the three people that the prosecuting attorney, Satan, has brought to court for his case to help us to determine that whether these promises that God has put in his word, whether they are worth thinking about, whether they are worth believing, whether you ought to have put them at all, or whatever it is, they should be discarded. When you take the word unbeliever, unbeliever is somebody that never believes. That is the meaning of the name of the false witness of the prosecuting attorney. That's the first person he brought. And the second person is Mr. Skeptic. And what is the meaning of skeptic? Let me read you the missionary meaning of skeptic. Because we need to understand the name of these witnesses before you can know what will proceed out of their mouth, before we can know how we are going to take their word and follow whatever they say. Skeptic is someone who doubts beliefs. I repeat, someone who doubts beliefs, claims, plans, etc., that are accepted by others as true and appropriate, especially one who habitually does so. That is the person that is called skeptic. When they say somebody is skeptical, the person is doubting. So, the second witness of the prosecuting attorney is someone who doubts beliefs, claims and plans, and etc. that are accepted by others as true and appropriate, especially one who habitually does so. Because that is his name, that is his life. Amen. And then finally we will have Mr. Impatient. We all understand the word patient. Is it? All of us use it. Be patient, be patient, be patient, be patient. Especially today is the day of even the government, the president, tell everybody be patient. Impatient is someone who is never patient. These are the three witnesses that the prosecuting attorney is bringing Satan to come and prove to the audience about the promises of God that they are not true, that they are rational promises that he put in his word. They are irresponsible statements, irresponsible promises that has put in his word. And he's sitting down there and says, God is God, thinking everybody will believe him like that, when they cannot see the proof of what he's talking about. Amen. Well, I'm not going to proceed from here, because to proceed from here, I will see the verse when I come back for the main service. I think I have 3 more minutes or 2 more minutes or thereabout. But let me just say this. Oh my, glory to God. This generation, there's no generation like it. If God has not given us the type of prophet he gave us today, I tell you, there's nowhere anybody can enter. Because God knew that this our generation is the one that Satan has loosed all his demons, the one that has been resting, maybe on holiday, he loosed all of them, that they are using all the generations to bombard everybody in this generation. And I said to kill behind God, you kill behind the Holy Spirit. And God is actually your help. He's actually your strength. You can't make it in this our generation. Because it is the age where battles are fought. It's the last round. Go to any game or whatsoever. When you get to the last round, the last strength is put inside. Because once you fail, that is all people do behind you, they all fail. And God cannot fail. Because he's the captain of the host. He's the one in front. He's the one at the back. He's the one giving strength to everybody that is on his queue. So they cannot fail. He supplies sufficient grace for everybody to be able to take their stand. Let us bow our heads. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you, dear Lord, for this little opening, Lord, that we have done for the message of the day.
We just look up unto you, dear God, that you will stand for us and help us. Lord, be our strength. Let your grace be sufficient for everyone. We beseech you, Heavenly Father, that when this sermon will be ended, may we find ourselves as witnesses on the right side. May we never be witnesses for Satan or his cohorts or whatsoever that he has to present. May we be able to stand tall and say that by your grace, we are the true witnesses of the Almighty God, that the promises of God, they are yea and amen. Grant it, Heavenly Father. Walk upon us. Let our faith be lifted up. We give glory and honor unto you. In Jesus Christ's name we pray.